the book of Jonah tonight, here's the question. What did it take for Jonah to pray? What did it take for Jonah to pray? Our text is Jonah chapter 2, verse number 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Jonah rejected the call of God. It's a little too loud. Turn this down just a little bit. You remember, God called Jonah to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. Nineveh was known for wickedness and evil and even a hatred for God's people. They were known to be butchers and savages. Jonah didn't want to go there. You can understand on the human standpoint, he wanted them to get what they deserve. God's going to destroy Nineveh? Good, they deserve it. God's going to destroy Nineveh? I don't have any mercy. God shouldn't have any mercy. They get what they deserve. But Jonah rejected the call of God. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Instead, Jonah fled. He went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare, and he went down into the ship. You check out Jonah's life after he fled from the presence of God, or so he thought. It's down. You read in chapter number 1, he went down, he went down, he went down, he went down, and finally he went down to the bottom of the ocean. Jonah rejected the call of God. You know, whenever you reject the call of God, you're only going to go down. It's never to go up. We think sometimes I can reject the call of God and I can prosper in this life. No, you'll find yourself going down. You know, the greatest price that you'll pay running from the presence of God is the price of peace. There is no peace to the wicked. There is no peace outside the will of God. God is going to hound you. God is going to keep after you. God is not going to let you go. He'll convict you. You'll have no peace. What did it take for Jonah to pray? He rejected the will of God. He ran from the presence of the Lord. And you know the story of the account of Jonah. He is cast into the sea. I thank God that God prepared a fish. God gave him 3 days and 3 nights to be in the belly of a whale. You know, there are a lot of different stories. You can look them up. Modern day Jonahs. There was one back in the 1800s. There's one earlier in this past 1900s. There was one just right down the road here, actually, not too long ago. A man was swallowed by a whale. You say, how could a whale swallow a man? You know, it had to be a different kind of a whatever it was, a fish, whatever. That's impossible. Look, God can make anything happen. God can have a special fish born that could swallow a man. God created everything from nothing. And so we see here that Jonah is cast into the sea. He is swallowed up by a great fish that the Lord prepared. Jonah chapter 1 and verse number 17 is an amazing verse to me. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Can you imagine for 3 days and 3 nights as he gives us the vivid details? He said, here I am in the belly of hell, verse number 2. He said, I feel like I'm in hell. I feel like I've died and I missed heaven and I'm in this place that's just tormenting and torturing. Can you imagine being in the belly of an animal for 3 days and 3 nights? I don't mean to be morbid, but when you throw up, okay, your gastric, juices have been working on that food, and it's a lot different color than when it went in, okay? And there's a lot of activity that's been going on whatever was in your stomach, and it's not good activity. Can you imagine Jonah being in the whale's belly for 3 days and 3 nights, and all those gastric juices are working on him? And boy, it's no wonder those people repented when he preached. They said, this guy came back from the dead. Look at him. He looks like death, and he's scary looking. But here he is, 3 days and 3 nights, and he's in this whale's belly. He doesn't know where he is and what's happening and which way is up, and all this stuff is happening to him. The weeds are wrapped around his head. It's pitch dark. Can you imagine all the noises he's hearing? He's wondering, what happened to me? Where am I? What's going to happen to me? That's a long time, 72 hours. Amazing verse. 3 days and three nights. He said, I feel like God's forsaken me. He wanted to get away from the presence of the Lord. He felt like he was away from the presence of the Lord. You know, when he got there, he wanted it back. He said, I wish I could come into your holy temple. I wish I could come into the presence of God. He said, I cried and you heard my voice. You know, sometimes we, verse 5, I will look again toward thy holy temple. You know, when you get sometimes selfishly what you want, you'll find out you really didn't want it. Oh, if I could just get away from God and get away from his presence and get away from the conviction of the Holy Spirit and go run off and do my own thing, you'll not be happy. Jonah tried it. He wasn't happy. He was miserable. He was thinking, if I could just do anything to get back in the presence of God, if God would just hear me one more time, I'd have it made. 3 days and three nights. So many times, people do not pray until it is their last resort. How many times have we said it? We've probably all said this. All I can do now is pray. Or I guess we have to pray now. We've finagled every dollar left in the checkbook. And now we have to pray. We've gone to every doctor that we can think of and taken every medicine that we could think of. And now we have to pray. We've thought of every kind of idea that we could think of. And we've asked advice from everybody we can come up with. And now we have to pray. Why is prayer our last resort? It ought to be our first resort. How many times do people get their backs against the wall? Then it's, dear God, help me. God is our 911 number. I've been helping myself. Now I'm at the end of my rope. God, help me. Let's not get ourselves into the predicament that Jonah did. You know, I find it's an amazing thing in verse number 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Skip the chapter division, just keep on reading. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord. Listen, I don't find Jonah praying on day one. Wouldn't you think he'd pray on day one? I mean, as soon as they threw him overboard, oh God, help me. No, the fish scooped him up. And there he was on day one. We find no record of his prayer. On day two, we find no record of his prayer. On day three, we find no record of his prayer. Finally, after 3 days and three nights, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord. Boy, he was stubborn, wasn't he? I mean, God really had to digest on him for a while. I don't know what that fish's name was. Maybe Charlie the tuna. All right, Charlie, you're going to get so stomach sick from this backslidden preacher and this Baptist preacher that won't go and preach a revival in Nineveh that you're going to get so sick carrying him around for 3 days and three nights. You're going to want to throw him out on the first day, but he's so stubborn, he's not going to pray till after 3 days and three nights. I'm sorry about that. But when Jonah prayed, finally, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah again, but in the meantime, the fish had to throw him up in chapter 2, verse number 10. The fish couldn't stomach him anymore. But it was after 3 days, and he finally prayed. What did it take for Jonah to pray? Let me give you several thoughts this evening. Number one, Jonah cried out of his affliction. Chapter 2, verse number 2. And I said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Thank God he hears us. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Jonah cried out of his affliction. I would propose that his affliction was self-imposed. Jonah didn't have to have affliction. You know, we could have done without chapter 2 being in the Bible. God could have called Jonah at the beginning of chapter 1, and then it could have gone right into chapter number 3, verse number 3. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. We could have avoided God having to tell him the second time. But he went through affliction because he wouldn't listen. Affliction in this case was avoidable. Totally avoidable. His affliction was because of himself. He faced affliction because he was being chastened. Look at Psalm 119. Keep your place here. Psalm 119. Now, when you look at this verse, it sounds a lot like Jonah. Psalm 119 and verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Why did affliction come in Psalm 119:67? Because someone was given God's word, went astray, and then was afflicted and had to come back to it. God gave Jonah his word in chapter number 1. And God said, Jonah, I want you to arise. I want you to go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. And Jonah said, I am not going. And he rejected God's word. And he went down. And he went down, and he went down, and he went down. And finally God afflicted him. And then he cried. Wouldn't we like to avoid? Look, I don't like affliction. I don't like affliction even when it's unavoidable. I don't like affliction when God's trying to help me with something. God, can't you just teach me a lesson and, just give me all the sugar and spice and everything nice? And God says, no, we're not gonna teach you like that today. We're gonna give you affliction. Oh, can I just take an absent today? And I just want to skip that one, and we'll just go on to the next one. And God says, no, we've gotta put you in the furnace of affliction. Do we have to? We have to. Hey, but listen, if you're being afflicted and you're right, I'll be there in the furnace like I was with Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Hey, there's a fourth man in the fire. Didn't we throw in three? And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. But here's Jonah being chastened because of his affliction. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 11 talks about chastening. It tells us that if we are a child of God and we disobey God, God will chasten us. And if we do not get chastened, then it's because we're illegitimate. We're not a child of God. And God uses very strong language. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 11. Now no chastening is for the present. For the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Jonah was being chastened in the whale's belly for 3 days and 3 nights. It was not pleasant. It was not enjoyable. It was no fun. It was horrible. He said, I feel like I'm in hell. But God was looking at the afterward. You know, God always looks at the afterward. There's a city of 120,000 children who can't discern between their right hand and the left hand. Never mind all the adults it takes to take care of that many kids. He said, there's a whole city, maybe millions of people, and they need to be spared from destruction. And God said, Jonah, I'm going to use you to bring that message. Now, you're disobeying, so I've got to bring you affliction. And afterwards, there's going to be a revival. And afterwards, there's going to be a repentance of these people. And afterwards, I'm going to spare that great city. But Jonah cried out in his affliction. Jonah looked at Tarshish as his escape from Nineveh. But what he was really running from was the voice of the Lord in Jonah 1 and verse number 1. Is it hot over here? You asked for it. I'm sorry. Now you know what it's like. Purgatory is over here. All right? Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Jonah was running from God's word. He was running from God's word. He was running from God's presence, verse 3 of chapter 1. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He was running from verse number 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. He was running from the will of God. Jonah was running from the word of God, the presence of God, and the will of God. You know what? It didn't work. Why is it going to work for you and me? It's not going to work. You can try to run from the presence of God, but you know what the Bible says? Psalm 139 and verse number 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. You can't hide from God. You can't run from the presence of God. Jonah tried to run from the presence of God and the will of God and God's word, and nothing worked. And here he is now in affliction. You're just going to cause yourself trouble running from God. It took affliction for Jonah to pray. But thank God, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Hey, wouldn't it be better to pray when all is well? Wouldn't it be better to pray when everything is fine? Chapter 2, verse number 2. And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. Jonah prayed because of affliction. I don't want affliction to have to come to make me pray. When affliction comes, I hope I'm still praying, but I pray that affliction would not be the catalyst of my prayer. Verse number 4, he feels he is cast out of God's sight, and he is desperate. Verse 5, his soul. He talks about his soul. Look at verse 5 of chapter 2. The waters compassed me about even to the soul. He wasn't talking about his body anymore. He would have used that word. The waters compassed me about from head to foot, right? He's going inward. And he said, you know what? It's not only a physical pain that I'm feeling a spiritual part of me that is being affected. He said, that spiritual man on the inside is hurting and I'm drowning. Chapter 2, verse number 8, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. You know, Jonah at the beginning of the story believed his own lie. I can run from God and get away with it. I can hide from God and God can't see me. I can go somewhere and the voice of God will not be heard where I go. He believed his own lie. You know, you can lie to yourself, but this book right here never lies. You can get enough people around you that are as backslidden as you are and backslidden as I am if I'm backslidden. And we get backslidden and we can get enough backslidden people to tell us what we're doing is right. But God be true and every man a liar. Affliction. It took affliction to get Jonah to pray. Wouldn't it have been better if Jonah had prayed? Lord, I don't like those people from Nineveh, but let me pray for them. And if you want me to go, then I'll go. All I have to know is that you said it. God, if you want me to go to Nineveh and preach, I can't stand those people, but you love those people. So I'll go. God, I'm going to pray for them right now. Oh, God, please help the people in Nineveh to be spared. Wouldn't that have been a better prayer than have to go through 3 days and three nights of torment? Number two, it took affliction to get Jonah to pray. Now, Jonah prayed after affliction came. Number two, it took a storm to get Jonah to pray. You find Jonah praying before the storm came? All I find is Jonah running. All I find is Jonah paying the price to buy a ticket on a ship. All I find is Jonah serving Jonah, not praying. He's sleeping. Finally, a storm comes. A great wind, the Bible says. And a mighty tempest comes. Those are the words that God uses in his word. A great wind and a mighty tempest. And the mariners are scared for their lives. You know, it must have taken a lot to scare a seasoned mariner. Here they are all the time. They're on the water. All the time they're in a ship. All the time they have sea legs. Right? All the time they're just kind of going back and forth from one place to another, bringing goods and bringing people and trading back and forth on the waters and plying the waters of the sea and up in the waves and down in the waves. And probably when they get together, hey, you remember the storm of 92? Hey, you remember the blizzard of 72? Oh, you remember all? And they're probably, that was their conversation. Here they are, afraid for their lives. And what's Jonah doing? He's sleeping. He's sleeping. He's below deck and he's sleeping. It doesn't bother him. Finally, after the storm and after they cast him out, he prays. Wouldn't it be better to pray in the calm instead of have God have to send a storm into your life? God sent the storm into Jonah's life. And the proof is when they threw him overboard, the storm ceased and there was a great calm. God said, listen, I'm after one man, and that man is Jonah. I'm after that preacher who's backslidden and he's not answering the call of God. I'm after that man. I want him to go to Nineveh, and he's gone down to Joppa, and he's fleeing to Tarshish. And I'm going to get his attention. I'm going to get the whole world's attention. God brought a great storm and a tempest. Wouldn't it be better to pray in tranquility? Look what happens in chapter number 1 and verse number 5. Then the mariners were afraid. Why? Verse 4. The Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. What did it cost? It cost other people all their belongings. Can you imagine all the things that the mariners threw overboard? Well, I won't be needing any changes of clothes. They don't wear them down in Davy Jones' locker, so here you go. Well, I won't be needing all that money and all those gold doubloons and pieces of eight, right? Just throw them overboard. Well, I won't be needing all this extra food, because if we don't live through today, we don't need it. And they threw it all overboard. Hey, we won't be needing any more fresh water. Throw it up. We're going to die. Why? One man, Jonah. Backslidden, running from God, running from God's word, running from God's presence, running from God's will. Others lost their belongings because Jonah wouldn't obey God. I'd hate to be a Jonah in somebody's life, wouldn't you? Sounds a little fishy, doesn't it? I hate to be the person who caused storms in other people's lives. But he really didn't care about their stuff. He was so selfish. They feared for their lives. Well, they're terrified. Jonah is fast asleep. Number one, it took affliction for Jonah to pray. Number two, it took a storm for Jonah to pray. Number three, I want you to think about some great people in the Bible that called unto the Lord in their distress. It's not the only one, Jonah. Chapter 35 of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 35, we find an account of Jacob. And Jacob had caused himself distress. And he hearkens back to an encounter that he had with God. In chapter 35, verse 1, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. And make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the presence of Esau, thy brother. God said, do you remember when you tricked Esau out of his birthright and his blessing? And he wanted to kill you and you fled from Esau. And now you fled for a long time. And finally you're trying to be reunited with your brother. And so you make up different bands of your family and of your goods and of your belongings. In case one gets wiped out, you'll still have a few left at the back. And he says, you remember how afraid you were? Then Jacob said unto his household and all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel. And I will there make an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my what? Distress. Listen, if you got distress in your life, Jacob caused his own distress. But God didn't say, you know what? I'm shutting off the faucet. I'm not going to hear your prayer. He said, look, you've got distress. You caused your own distress, but I'm still going to hear your prayer. And was with me in the way which I went. Okay, look back to it, chapter 28. Lots of people do things other than pray in their distress. But you know, as a child of God, even if you're not right with God, God still wants you to pray in your distress. He wants you to turn around and say, okay, like Jonah. Okay, I ran from you. God, if you'll just get me out of this hell where I think I am, the weeds are wrapped around me, my soul is fretting. God, I want to come into your presence. God, I want to make this right. I'll listen to you this time. And God said, okay, we'll give you a second chance. Lots of people do other things than pray in their distress. God reminded him in verse 1, he knew about his distress. Genesis 28, verse number 16. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." And he was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." That's what Jacob was talking about in chapter 35. He saw a ladder reaching up into heaven. He saw the angels of God ascending and descending. And he said, "I remember when I was in distress, and I met with God, and I called it Bethel, the house of God." He's in distress again in chapter 32. And in Peniel, he wrestles with the angel of the Lord in Genesis chapter 32 and verse 24 through 32. He's wrestling all night. He says, "What's your name?" "My name is Jacob, the trickster, the supplanter." And the Lord himself was wrestling with Jacob, and he said, "Your name is Israel, because you're a prince with God and you've prevailed." And God blessed him. God touched the hollow of his thigh, and he halted, and he walked with a limp for the rest of his life. He was a man in distress, but in distress he prayed to God at Bethel. In his distress he prayed to God in Peniel. In his distress he prayed in chapter 35, and he said, "In my distress, God heard me." Hey, maybe you're in distress tonight. A lot of people turn to a lot of crazy things in distress. You turn to the bottle, that's not going to help you. It's going to make it worse. You turn to drugs, it's going to make it worse. You turn to iniquity and immorality, it's going to make it worse. You turn to sin, and you go off and you say, "Well, my life is ruined anyway. I'm just going to ruin it all the way." God says, "Why don't you come to me in your distress, and I will hear you and answer your prayer." God heard Jonah in his distress. God heard Jacob in his distress. Don't give up in distress. 2 Samuel chapter 22. David is running for his life. He's running from Saul. You know, David could have dispatched Saul pretty easily. He had people who were going to help him do it. Saul was in a cave one time. You remember that? And they said, "Saul's in the cave. Let's just kill him right here." He said, "I will not lift up my hand against God's anointed. I'm not going to do it." Caused him a lot of grief. Running for his life, not because he'd done anything wrong, but because Saul was jealous. 2 Samuel 22, verse 1, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song, in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, 'The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid, the sorrows of hell." Sounds a lot like Jonah. "Compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I did what? I called unto the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my cry, voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears." David said, "I'm running from Saul for my life like a hunted animal. I feel my life is over. I feel everything is turned against me. What am I going to do?" "I'm going to call and cry to God." And he said, "And God heard me." Thank God for a God who hears us in distress. You know, God is not just the sunshine God. And just hears us when the sun, "Oh, look, the sun is shining, and it's nice out. God hears me." No, God hears you in the midst of the worst kind of situation imaginable. Jacob caused his own. God heard him in distress. Jonah caused his own. God heard him in distress. Somebody else caused David's distress. God heard him. Again, David in Psalm chapter 18. Psalm chapter 18 and verse number 1. "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears." Doesn't it sound like just what we read in 2 Samuel? You think God wants to repeat it just to, you know, sell a bestseller? Or does he want to repeat it so we get the point? He says, "All right, I know you wouldn't read 2 Samuel so much, so let me put it right in Psalms. Chapter 120. Other people had lied about David. What are you going to do when people lie about you? Well, it's pretty easy to get revenge, right? That's a normal thing to do. That's a natural thing to do. That's a carnal thing to do. But we want to do it sometimes. What did David do? Psalm 120. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. He said, I'm having a real problem. I'm for peace. They're for war. They're trying to destroy me. What am I going to do? I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to talk to somebody who can give me comfort. I'm going to talk to somebody who can do something about it. Jeremiah had distress. Look at Lamentations chapter 1. Lamentations chapter number 1 and verse number 20. Behold, O Lord, for I am in distress. My bowels are troubled. My heart is turned within me, for I have grievously rebelled abroad. The sword bereaveth at home. There is at death, as death. He said, we're going into captivity. There's punishment. We're being chastened. God, we're distressed. What am I going to do? I'm going to call to you. I'm going to lament. I'm going to pray. Judah had gone into captivity. Jerusalem is plundered and burned. Judgment has come upon God's people. What did Jeremiah do? He prayed. What does the Bible say in James chapter 5, verse 13? Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. We can complain. I'm pretty good at it myself. If you want lessons, I can give them to you. We complain pretty good. But God said, listen, pray. Is any afflicted? Let him pray. God invites us to pray. Psalm 50 and verse number 15. Psalm 50, verse 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Psalm 118 and verse number 5. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Does God hear the prayer of the distressed? Yes, he does. Hannah, in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 15, she was in distress. She was being reproached. She was childless. And Hannah answered and said, no, O Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. What did she do? She talked to God about her problem, and God answered. Our Savior prayed in his agony in Luke chapter 22 and verse number 44. He's in the garden. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. What did our Savior do? In distress, in agony, he prayed. Look at one more, Hezekiah. Isaiah chapter 38. Don't turn to Hezekiah. Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah chapter 38, Hezekiah is given the bad news that he's going to die. Isaiah the prophet goes in and God gives him a message. Hezekiah, set your house in order. You're going to die. You're not going to live. Well, that's pretty bad news. Verse 1, Isaiah 38. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and tell Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Kind of rhymes, doesn't it? God said, I've heard your prayer, I've seen your tears, I'm adding 15 years to your life. Man, that's pretty incredible. I mean, I would have probably gone skydiving. I'd be like, yeah, I got 15 years, I know, I'm going to be good, right? I go bungee jumping, I'm going to eat... what do you call those things? Clams. Oh, I'm going to eat clams. I'll try them. Because I'm going to live 15 years. I won't get a what do you call that? Ulcer, right? I won't get a, boom, all of a sudden there goes my small intestine, right? I don't know what it is. Just stick to the notes. Okay, sorry. 15 years. God said, you're going to die. He prayed. He said, God, please don't let me die. Please remember all the good I've done. And God said, okay, I'm going to let you live. Isaiah, go tell him. Number 4. God gave Jonah mercy God gave Jonah kindness. And God gave Jonah deliverance. God gave Jonah a second chance. In chapter number 3, God instructs Jonah again. What did he tell him? He told him the same exact thing he told him the first time. He said, okay, we've gotten the ride out of the way. You got to ride in a boat, then you got to ride in a submarine. He said, now you're a piece of puke, and you're thrown up on the dry land. And he said, now listen, and he said, I'm going to give you the same message I gave you the first time. We're not changing the message. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. Does that mean he got there fast? I don't know. Maybe. People say, well, it was a three-day journey across the city, like Houston or Phoenix or something like that, right? It takes so long. Maybe he got there in one day. He thought that fish was chasing him. Like, it takes 3 days to get there. He's like, I'm not taking any chances. Now, Darwin's fish might sprout legs, right, and come after me. Where's that fish? Hopefully it's a land fish. It's coming to get me. But here he is, and God said, I'm giving you the same message I gave you the first time. Preach the preaching that I bid thee. Jonah, he didn't make a mistake the next time. He said, okay, I learned my lesson. I am not going back to be chicken of the sea. I am not going back in the whale's belly. I am not going back to being chastened the way I just was. Okay, you don't have to tell me a third time. God instructs Jonah again. Aren't you glad for the second time? The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. God said, okay, get back in where you got out. Get back in the will of God where you fell out of the will of God. Get busy doing something for God. Boy, the time is short, isn't it? Brethren, the time is short. It's shorter than when we got saved. It's shorter than it was a year ago. It's shorter than it was when you were 20. Time is short. We need to get busy for God. Jonah preaches to the people of Nineveh. His message? Oh, his message was the power of positive preaching. It was. Look at chapter 3, verse 4. Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's positive preaching. It's positively going to be overthrown. He said, we got 40 days. Here goes the clock. 39, 38. He said, you've only got 40 days. Nineveh's going to be overthrown. Jonah preaches. You know, Jesus called him a great prophet. Matthew chapter 12. He mentions him a couple times in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 12. The Jewish people revered Jonah as a great prophet. And Jesus was using him from a comparative and using Jesus himself as the superlative. He said, listen, there is a man who is a great prophet and greatly used by God. He cried out of his affliction. He cried out of a storm. He cried because he was distressed, but he got busy. He got in where he got out. He got over back over to Nineveh, and he preached, and I used him in a mighty way. And Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 39. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Jesus said Jonah was a great man. Jonah was a great prophet. And Jesus used him as an illustration of his burial. 3 days and three nights. He said, you know, Jonah is a type of Christ. Well, I wouldn't have used Jonah. I would have used somebody else, right? I'd have used somebody that never messed up and got off track. I'd have used somebody that listened the first time, but God didn't. Thank God. All he has to use are mess ups. All he has to use are sinners. And so here's this sinner, Jonah, and he gets back in where he got out. Now he's preaching, and the revival comes, and the people get right with God, and God says, I won't destroy it. And he says, let me tell you, Jonah was a great prophet, and Christ is greater than Jonah. Thank God for that. Great prophet, powerful preaching, used in a mighty way, a type of Christ. The Bible says in chapter 3 of Jonah, in verse number 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything, and let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented him of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. People of Nineveh believed God. What did they do? They prayed. Jonah prayed in his affliction. Now they prayed in their affliction. And they got a hold of God, and God spared their lives. Now, amazing thing happened. Jonah prayed again. Did you know Jonah prayed again? Jonah prayed again after he prayed in verse number 1 of chapter number 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God. He's in the whale's belly. He prayed. In his affliction, he prayed. After the storm came, he prayed. Finally, God answers his prayer. Now he prays again after the revival of Nineveh. Wouldn't you think it would logically be a prayer of thanksgiving? Dear God, thank you for allowing those people to respond to your word and respond to your message. They didn't have to go through affliction like I had to go through affliction. They didn't have to go through the pain and the suffering that I had to go through there in the whale's belly. You didn't have to invent a way for them to understand that you're serious about what you said. You spared the civilization. Prayer of thanksgiving. It would make sense. It would make sense if he prayed, God bless those people in their growth. Now that they're right with you. Now that they're saved and they're on their way to heaven, bless them in their growth. Help them to grow. Instead, chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased the Lord, displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. What a crazy prayer. Here's Jonah. He just gets mercy. He just gets grace. He just gets forgiveness. He just gets used again. He gets put back on the saddle again. He's riding the horse again. He's preaching the revival. And all these people are spared. Probably a million people. And now he prays and he said, God, I wish you wouldn't have given them mercy. Thanks for giving me mercy, but I wish you wouldn't have given them mercy. Thanks for giving me grace, but why'd you give them grace? I knew you were going to do that. I can't believe it. I prayed in my distress for grace, and you gave grace. I prayed in my distress for mercy, and you gave mercy. I prayed in my distress for forgiveness, and you gave me forgiveness. But now I'm angry that you gave it to them. Aren't you glad? And I bet Jonah is glad. God answered his first prayer, but he didn't answer his second prayer. God, take my life from me. He didn't answer it. Instead, God gave him a gourd. He gave him a lesson of a gourd. And there's so many things in here. God prepared. God prepared a gourd. God prepared a wind. God prepared a worm. There's so many things in here, all right? Look what happens. In chapter 4, verse number 5. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd, made it to come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. Probably sat on this side over here where it was hot. Right? He said, God, please give me some relief. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? Here, can you imagine this answer? Can you imagine talking to God like this? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. God says, you're really tempting me, Jonah, but I'm not going to kill you. Okay? Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. Should not I spare Nineveh, the great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons, 120,000 people, that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? What does God leave them with? A question mark. And that's the end of the story. Curtain comes down. Life of Jonah. We don't know what happened. God said, Jonah, you prayed for mercy, and I gave you mercy. Now I gave you a gourd to give you a little relief, and you're so mad that the gourd died, you're more concerned about a gourd than you are about people's souls. Shame on you. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. What did it take for Jonah to pray? Affliction. What did it take for Jonah to pray? Storm. People in the Bible prayed in their distress and God heard them. Yes, we need to pray in our affliction, but don't miss this. Let's pray when blessings abound. Let's pray for the blessings. And then when they come, keep on praying. You know, sometimes we pray for rain. Oh, God, send rain. And it comes. There shall be showers of blessing. And the blessings come. And then we forget to keep praying. Here's a saying. Pray for rain while it's raining. Pray for the blessings while you're getting the blessings. Guess what? It doesn't rain all the time, does it? We know that from this afternoon, right? It rained over here, didn't rain at my house, rained at my house, and it wasn't raining here. It's like, what happened? Pray for rain while it's raining. Pray for the blessings when they're coming. Why don't you get on your face and say, dear God, you know, I don't have any affliction going on. I don't have any distress right now, but I just want to thank you for being a good God. And you've been so good to me. The goodness of God even leadeth thee to repentance. God, you've been so good to me. I'm going to pray without ceasing. And I'm going to thank you for, and I'm going to even ask you for a few things. But God, I want to thank you for what's going on in my life right now. I want to thank you for what's going on in my family right now. I want to thank you for what's going on with my health right now. Listen, a lot of people would love to be here, even if it's hot, okay? A lot of people would love to be here, but they're flat on their back. They don't even know where they are. They don't even know what day it is. It's the 15th of May. They don't have a clue. Oop, we got to quit now. And a lot of people would love to be anywhere, but they're in a hospital tonight. And they're afflicted. Should we pray when we're afflicted? Yes. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. But don't wait till you get afflicted. Don't wait for affliction to come before your phone up in heaven rings. Oh, that must be, it's that red phone. It only rings when there's an emergency. Yes, what's the emergency? Okay, you need an ambulance? You need a fire truck? You need a police car? What do you need this time? No, I just wanted to talk to you. Isn't that, your kids ever do that to you? Mine never do that to me, but I did that when I was a kid, right? Hey, Dad, what do you need? Nothing. I just wanted to say hi. Hey, Mom, what do you need? I just wanted to say hi. I just wanted to let you know that you're awesome. I just wanted to let you know that I'm the luckiest son. I don't believe in luck, right? I'm the happiest, most blessed son in the world. And thank you for being such a wonderful parent. Oh, are you sick? Did you bump your head? Do you have a fever? Does somebody have a gun to your head? Right? What's happening? I said, this is not my kid. And sometimes we say to God, dear God. And God says, wait a minute. I know. What do you need? I don't need anything. I just wanted to let you know. You're the best God there is. So I'm the only God there is. Okay. You're an awesome God. I appreciate you. You've been so good to me. I don't deserve it. And I just wanted to say thank you. Pray for rain while it's raining.